The Lifestyle Show, presented by Selena McKenzie.
And it is, of course, that time of the year when we all want to get back into a healthy routine after lots and lots of overindulging. Well, our final guest today says that you don't need another diet, you just need a new approach. She's here to tell us about her book, which is called Dieting Sucks for Women Over 40. Welcome to the show, Debbie Harris.
Thank you so much, Selena. It's wonderful to be here and Happy New Year.
Yes, Happy New Year to you too. Thank you for joining us. So what do you mean by a new approach then, Debbie?
Well, I dieted all my life, starting at about age 11 or 12. And I find that what we tend to do is we tend to get all excited that we're going to start this new program and we're going to stick to it. And we don't take into consideration our relationship with food, our history with food, and our mindset going into it. So it's really about changing the whole diet culture and also following a logical sequence that will help you take the weight off and teach you how to keep it off, which is key.
Yeah, that's the trouble, isn't it? There's lots of diets out there that you might lose a couple of pounds in the first few weeks, but then, you know, you can't sustain it and it becomes boring. Life becomes boring when you're just eating lettuce, let's face it.
Yes. Yes, it does.
And it is much harder, of course, as we get older. You know, you've got hormones and women have the menopause to contend with. So what would you say? Would you say it's not about looking at your food, but just thinking about, well, I don't know, you tell us. I mean, a diet is a diet is a diet.
Yes. And I will say that the first 30 days of my 30 to life solution, you are cutting out certain foods that you normally would eat, things like dairy, sugar, sorry to say alcohol. And what it does is it gives your body really a chance to balance. And you mentioned hormones, and one of the ones we focus on is cortisol, the stress hormone, the fight or flight hormone. In other words, you know, let me stock up on food because I don't know when my next meal will be. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, for the first 30 days, you're still eating three meals a day. Ladies out there. And by the way, the program works for men as well.
Okay.
But you are giving up certain things. However, after those 30 days, you are bringing back foods in a controlled fashion. The whole point is you learn about how your body reacts to certain foods. Now, look, you know, we all kind of know what happens if we overdo sugar, if we overdo the simple carbs like chips, alcohol, if we overdo it. But it can be something as simple as a particular vegetable or a particular grain that we didn't realize was kind of throwing us out of balance. I've heard it happen with broccoli, with spinach. For me, I discovered asparagus can do that. Now, it doesn't mean I never eat asparagus. It means I now understand my personal relationship with asparagus. And we go into a lot of things in the book. I teach everyone self-hypnosis. We talk about being a self-saboteur. We talk about going down the rabbit hole. You know those days where you've stuck to a program for 2, 3, 4, 5 days, as you just mentioned, and all of a sudden, donuts appear. Or here, I'd say bagels. I'm not sure if you guys
are thinking about bagels. Yeah.
Growing up in New Yorker, bagels are like a religious experience. And, you know, all of a sudden you break down for a moment, you have a half a donut or a piece of muffin, and that's it. The day is shot, the day is blown, you failed, you might as well eat the, chips for lunch. You might as well have pizza for dinner. We talk about all of that self-recrimination, and we really get rid of that because women carry that. They you know, and the other thing is, I come last. No, you come first. And we talk about all of this so that by the end of my book, you know how to be what I call myself, a freedom eater. You understand how to live an 80-20 lifestyle, meaning 80% of the time you're eating the foods that you now know work best for you to maintain your ideal healthy weight, keep your hormones balanced, keep any perimenopause or postmenopause symptoms at bay. And then 20% of the time, go knock yourself out. Go on that all-inclusive cruise, vacation, whatever it is, family dinner, birthday celebration, without recrimination and without guilt.
That's a great idea, because I do hate New Year's resolutions, because you set yourself up for a fall in many ways, don't you? You know, like you say, you can go 5 days being really good and really proud of yourself, and then you eat that donut or that bagel. And instead of thinking, oh, well, it's okay, I can have one, I'll carry on with my healthy lifestyle, you think that's it. That's exactly what you said. And that's, I don't know if that's a woman thing or a human being thing, but we do that.
I think men can do it too, but I think women are much better at it. I think we are much better at putting the self-blame and the self-doubt. And you're absolutely right about New Year's resolutions. Actually, and this year, January 9th, which is fast approaching, is Quitter's Day. Oh. They actually moved it from like the 15th or 16th back to the 9th this year, because New Year's resolutions usually do not work. And there's a couple of reasons. Number one, the subconscious really doesn't like them. If you equate telling a two-year-old or a teenager that they can't do something or they can't have something, we all know what happens immediately. The two-year-old and the teenager is going to make sure that they get their hands on whatever that is. The other thing is language. When we say lose weight, our subconscious emotionally is at about a 4 or 5 year old. And when a 4 or 5 year old loses something, they want to find it. So I encourage, or I invite all of you out there who are listening, change it to release weight or reduce weight. Right away, that sends a different signal. The other thing about New Year's resolutions is we tend to get very zealous. I am going to exercise more. I am going to eat better. I am going to meditate every day. I am going to, I mean, on and on and on. And yet nothing gets done. Because, you know, it's start with one thing. Mm. And make small incremental changes that you can reward yourself for. And a reward can be as simple as going for a coffee with a friend, or having your nails done, or a pedicure, or whatever works for you. Sitting for an hour and reading a book that you normally don't take a chance to do. So, yes. And we'll talk about exercise in a minute, because that plays a big part in all of this also.
Yes, I'm sure it does. The other reason I like what you say about the 80-20 lifestyle is it's the guilt as well. You've had that donut, and the guilt that you feel because you think, oh, I've let myself down. And with this 80-20 rule, I guess you say, no, have that donut. You can have the occasional one.
That's absolutely correct. And, you know, food is so tied into our family, our tradition, our culture, and holidays. And to go into that with this feeling of, I must be strong, I must avoid anything, it is actually, in my opinion, ridiculous. Food is meant to be shared. It's meant to be experienced. And, you know, whether it's Aunt Susie's cookies she used to bake, or grandma's cake, or mom's, you know, lasagna, whatever it is, these things are so tied into memory, and we have emotional responses to them, that why shouldn't we enjoy them? The key is to learn how to enjoy them.
Yeah, for sure. What about, Debbie, eating habits? Do we get into patterns of eating?
We do. And we all have them. And one of my favorites to think about is the after school. The many times coming into a house, and I used to do this at my first mother-in-law's house. I would walk in and open the refrigerator. And I said, why am I opening the refrigerator? And then even at home. And one of the things I've noticed with people is, like you said, a habit. If we came home from school and had a snack, then when it comes to whatever that time of day was, maybe two, maybe three, maybe four, whatever it is, it's almost like, oh, it's snack time. And we may not be, we may be in the middle of something completely different, and we find ourselves looking into the refrigerator. And so when things like that happen, if we're going to say, I am not going to do that, you know, that takes a little bit of time. We're putting so much pressure on ourselves. How about if when we open that refrigerator, there is some already washed and prepared fruit or leftover steamed vegetables from the night before that we can just reach in and grab and go, okay, I had something. I close the refrigerator, go back to what I was doing now. Mm. The other thing I get asked a lot about is intermittent fasting. And I will tell you that I tried it for about eight months. 16-8, meaning I didn't eat for 16 hours, and then I had an 8-hour window. I didn't care for it. And what I say to everybody, every woman out there, you are unique. You are not your daughter. You are not your neighbor. You're not your sister-in-law or your coworker. You must see what works for you. And if we can go even 12 hours, if we're having dinner, and then it's 12 hours later that we have breakfast, that's fine. We're giving our digestive system a rest. If you choose to do a 24-hour fast, a 36-hour fast, if you choose to do a 14-10 or a 16-8, try it. See how it works for you. If you find that you're getting cranky, if you find that you're jittery, and in particular, if you are on any kind of blood sugar medication, please, please, please check with your doctor. If you find it's not for you, it's okay. Mm. You don't have to intermittent fast.
Yeah. Is it important to give our digestive systems a rest?
Yes, it is. But the 12 hours is a rest. So, like happens with so many things, we jump on board because it's the thing to do. And, you know, I remember my son is 38. And I remember when I first had my son, you know, everybody was breastfeeding. And I had a C-section with him. And you know, I said, oh, well, I'm going to breastfeed because breastfeeding is the thing to do. So I did. And it was excruciatingly uncomfortable and painful. And 3 weeks later, I brought him into his pediatrician and I had like tears in my eyes. And she said, what in the world is wrong? And I said, oh, it's so painful when I breastfeed. And she said, then stop. Like, don't do it. Mm-hmm. And this is oftentimes what we do. You know, my girlfriend was able to do 16-8 and she looks great and it's comfortable for her. I don't know. It doesn't really resonate with me. Then don't do it. Find what resonates with you.
Yeah. Everybody's body's different, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
And on exercise then, Debbie, what can you tell us about exercise?
What I want to say to you out there, wonderful, gorgeous, intelligent women, if you are struggling with perimenopause symptoms, if you are finding you're gaining that weight around the middle,
yeah,
which very often is related to many things, but cortisol in particular, that storing that fat around the middle, who knows when we're going to eat again, and we store it around the middle. Watch your exercise. It's very important to have movement. And in the first 30 days of my program, we talk about this. We want to do gentle movement in the first 30 days. We don't want to be running. We don't want to be jogging. We don't want to do high intensity CrossFit, you know, 45 minutes on the Peloton or the treadmill. Why? Exercise spikes our cortisol. That's not necessarily a bad thing. We know that cardio and intense exercise can be good. But as women age, and I'm not going to go into, yes, it might be rougher on your joints and all of this. What I'm saying is, if we are trying to balance the cortisol by what we're eating, by better sleep, and we'll talk about water in a moment, we don't want to be counterproductive with this high intensity exercise. So in the past, I've coached women who were obsessed with being gym rats, who were obsessed with being on their Peloton for 45 minutes a day, who were running, jogging, and they couldn't take the weight off, even though they were following my program. As soon as they cut out the intense exercise, the weight just came off.
Wow.
So doesn't mean you can't go back to it later. But I want you to understand that when you're trying to balance your body, you want to do Pilates, a bar class. Walking is the absolute best thing. I do it with a weighted vest every day. But you want to do something more gentle for that until you get to the point where you're balanced. How do you know when you're balanced? You're going to sleep better. Your skin is going to look better. Any symptoms you have for perimenopause or postmenopause are going to diminish or completely go away. I have found clients say their blood sugar is better, their cholesterol is better, their migraines have gone away, their headaches have gone away, the joints don't hurt. You'll notice things that have nothing to do with the scale while the weight is releasing.
How interesting. I like that idea. And finally, water. We should be drinking a certain amount of water a day.
Yes. And this is this one takes some getting used to. Thank you, Selena. Plain water. So plain water. And by the way, you don't need to get the alkaline balanced and all of that. The body doesn't really know what to do with that. And you are spending more money for it. So plain water, filtered water, and you want to drink half your body weight in ounces each day, up to about 100 ounces. Now, I'll tell you, even 5 years later, I still mentally pay attention to this. And I will say, and you and I are in the same season, in winter it is harder because it's colder. So you're not naturally reaching for it more. But it's very important. So set a timer on your phone if that works for you, on your watch, maybe once every hour, every half hour. Get up in the morning and start with maybe 8 to 16 ounces. Find a system. I have water everywhere. And I keep filling up the bottles. I have it here on my desk. I have it in the car. I have it in the kitchen. I have it in the lit. I have water everywhere because otherwise it isn't going to happen. Mm. The other thing is, particularly at the beginning, work to get it in by 4 or 5 o'clock because you are going to get up more at the beginning. You are going to have to pee more at the beginning. That will subside. But, you know, if you're drinking water at 8, 9 o'clock at night and then going to bed, it's going to keep you up more.
So, yeah, it's true.
Try and regulate that. But it is very, very important. Most people don't do it. And when I say plain water, let me reiterate. I'm not talking about your coffee. I'm not talking about your tea. I'm not talking about putting anything in it except perhaps a little bit of lemon, which is fine. We use a lot of liquid flavored stevia. And I put that in my coffee in the morning. I don't use any cream or any sugar. Some people like to put a little of the flavored stevia in water, but however it works for you, you want to get that plain water in.
Yeah. It all seems like a much more realistic way to take care of yourself. And it's great, a great book for the new year. For our listeners, it's called Dieting Sucks for Women Over 40. It's by Debbie Harris, who we're speaking to now, and it is out now. If people want to find out more about you, Debbie, do you have any sort of website or social media?
Oh, yes. 30302life.org 32life.org. I am all over social media. Debbie Lee 211 is often the link for me. But if you just Google me, I'm on LinkedIn, I'm on TikTok, I'm on Instagram, I'm on Twitter, I'm on Facebook. I have a company page on Facebook, personal page on Facebook. So yes, I am all over, and I welcome Debbie at 30tolife.org. If you would like to email me right now as a gift to people for my Balanced Warrior Community membership, which is really for women who are ready. They've said, you know what? I'm done with this. I don't want next December to roll around and sit there and go, now what program am I going to do this January? I am offering, if you sign up for the Balanced Warrior membership for a year, I will send you a signed copy of my book now through January 31st.
That is excellent. Thank you so much, Debbie, and thank you for joining us today.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.